Really happy to welcome to the program Quincy City Council President, Councillor at Large, Nina Liang, for a little update on council activities. Hi, Nina. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too. Yeah, it was the last meeting of May we had last night.
That's right. Wow. And a lot has happened since the last time you and I talked, both here in the city and in the state as well. How are you feeling about the restrictions being lifted?
Oh, it's tough. I think I have, not like anybody else, right, a lot of feelings on this, you know. I think we've all had a lot of feelings for the last year and a half with respect to restrictions, not restrictions, what people are doing, what's mandated, what's suggested, a lot of which, you know, you and I have spoken about over this last year and a half. But really, you know, for me, it's very tunnel vision around logistics right now. You know, the state of emergency also called for temporary, you know, legislation that allowed for all of us to, you know, continue to comply with open meeting law by meeting remotely. And now that the state of emergency is going to be lifted, you know, what does that mean for the legislation that allows us to meet remotely? You know, does that mean that we are no longer allowed to meet remotely? Does that mean that we have to meet in person? Does that mean that the public can, you know, we can meet in person, but the public can still participate remotely? Does it mean that they also had to be in person? I mean, there's so many, I think, different ways to do it. And that hasn't been answered yet, unfortunately, in the last 12 hours, right? So I'm just, again, right now, my feelings around it are really tunnel vision. I'm working really closely with our clerk of committees, Jen, who is amazing with coordinating this stuff. And her and I are just trying to stay on top of, you know, trying to find out as quickly as possible what we are or are not allowed to do. You know, as you had mentioned earlier when we were just talking and getting logged on to this, is that the state of emergency is being lifted on June 15th, right? And so we have one more regularly scheduled council meeting after that, you know, in the month of June, but that's also right in the middle of budget season, right? So what does this mean for department heads? You know, if we have any budget meetings scheduled, does it mean that some of them are meeting on Zoom and then others are in person? What does that mean for public participation? Does it mean that folks are coming to City Hall along with all of us, along with all the department heads? Does it mean that people don't have to wear masks anymore indoors, or that there's a capacity, or maybe there's no capacity anymore? Does it mean that people can't participate through Zoom if they wanted to? You know, so there's so much right now. Again, focus specifically on that I'm just trying to make sure that we stay on top of and try to find out as soon as possible so that people can plan accordingly in the next month. And then after that, I think maybe I'll process it a little bit more. But right now, that's where my sole focus is, you know, what are we doing as a body? And then subsequently, you know, what public involvement will continue to look like moving forward.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this before, that this type of format, this remote format, has a lot of benefits, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, you know, we've seen in this last year, every time there's been a meeting, whether it's a committee meeting or a council meeting, there's always somebody from the public who tunes in, you know, whether it's by dialing in through a phone, so we'll see a random phone number on there, or, you know, logging in with their Zoom accounts, you know, even if there isn't during that meeting, you know, an opportunity for public participation, they participate by showing up, you know, and that's been really nice. When it's in person, I mean, thank you to you guys, right? They all tune in through QATV, so there's no need to come into the chambers, right? They can just, you know, whenever we have council, and we get that all the time, even during meetings. I remember the last 6 years I've been doing this, where people during a live meeting will say like, oh, I'm watching this on QATV right now. And then, you know, we'll say what they're going to say. And now folks are doing that as well as logging into the Zoom, right? And so, you know, I don't know if there's necessarily, I don't have any hard numbers to say that there's definitely been an increase, because again, it could be some of those folks who are crossing over, right? And then they'll go back to just watching on QATV and have always participated in that way. But I mean to say that participation has increased as far as people actually coming to the meetings, right? Even if it's coming to a virtual space, they're taking their time to come to that meeting, which has been nice, you know? And I certainly want to make sure that we continue to have those opportunities for people who can't physically make it to the council chambers, and or feel uncomfortable coming to the council chambers, right? Even if the ban is lifted, there might be some folks who still don't feel comfortable coming in person, especially if there's no mask mandate, right? So we want to make sure that we create as many opportunities as possible for public engagement, right? That's always been a priority for us as a body. And so even through the pandemic, we've wanted to make sure that that was possible, and it was, which was great. People could call in, they could Zoom in, they can, again, watch the QATV. Thank goodness you guys continue to air it. And now moving into this next phase, we need to make sure we're keeping that up. So I don't, again, have the answers now, because I'm still waiting to see what comes down from the state as far as how we can conduct these meetings. But once we do, we want to make sure that we're doing the best to continue the most public participation we can get.
Yeah, well, as always, when you do know, let us know, and we'll let everybody else know.
No, you guys are honestly, you guys are always so good with that, with getting the word out for us and making sure people know how they can tune in. So you'll be the first ones that we call to help us get the word out. Thank you for offering that.
In the meantime, you did have a meeting last night, right, May 17th, and it was a pretty active one, too. What would you say was some of the highlights?
I would say the most important thing is one of the biggest things we, as your counselors and as legislators, take on, right, which is the annual city budget. So every year, the mayor, when they, you know, when they propose a budget to us, comes and makes sure to give a presentation. And, you know, the last 2 years, he's taken the opportunity to do that remotely with us, which I really appreciate. So he was there last night in presenting the budget to us as well. When the budget gets presented, you know, always generally around this time of year, we put it right into finance committee and subsequently have, you know, the public participation. We have presentations from every single department. And this is the time, right? This is the time where all of us really hunker down, you know, get the highlighters, get the red pens out, and go through, right? And see, you know, what is it that's being funded? What, you know, is no longer being funded? That has happened every year where I've seen that department head see and, you know, a line item that maybe hasn't been used, you know, and they say we no longer need that. So they take that away, right? And so the departments, I mean, they work, it's not just now when we're seeing it. I mean, they work for months, if not, you know, for a year, going through their department's budget to put something together moving forward, you know. So this budget that they're putting in front of us is the accumulation of all of that hard work. And then particularly during a pandemic, right, doing that, I think, has been exceptionally difficult this year, right? Last year it was difficult, yes, but it was months into the pandemic, right? We had the state of emergency, you know, middle to the end of March, and then the budget gets proposed in May, right? So there was a lot of unknowns, yes, but now you take on a full year of that and having to think, okay, well, now I need to propose something for what's the impact of the pandemic that we haven't fully seen yet, right? How, again, even something with as simple as a meeting, what are people's lives going to look like moving forward, right? And so each of these department heads, I mean, think about it. They had to sit down and think about all of these unknowns, the unknown impact of this last year, right? And try to make the best possible predictions moving forward as well. And so they've worked really hard to be really diligent about what they put in front of us. And so I'm really excited to go through this book and go through the budget, hear from all the departments, hear about, you know, what's worked well from them this last year, what they need moving forward. And we'll go from there. And as always, we have really, really intense, really diligent conversations around this. And Chairman McCarthy, who's chair of the Finance Committee, will be scheduling that. And of course, again, notifying folks like UATV to make sure that the public can tune in and participate in that.
Yep, I know the mayor mentioned that it's a little less than 2% increase over the current fiscal year's budget. What will you be looking for in terms of priorities, Nina? What would you like to see, you know, money allocated to?
So I mean, one thing that I will say, and he mentioned this last night in his presentation to us, so I do want to just point this out, is the language access work that mm-hmm. we had talked about in the last year. And so, you know, this is a project that Melissa Ponder at the Planning Department had taken on with a number of folks actually as well in the planning department. And so I do want to thank, you know, the head of the planning department, everyone, the whole staff, right? They all came together again in the middle of pandemic and recognize that this is something they want to take on and see what we can do to make this impactful. And so in this last year, we found that, and I mentioned this before, and I think Melissa mentioned this when we had spoken to you, Joe, is that, you know, a lot of departments are already doing this work, right? They are prioritizing that when they're putting out information, if there's any public-facing opportunities, they are working on getting them translated, right? They're making sure that they're having closed caption at their meetings. You know, they're already doing this work and it's already front of mind for them. The piece of it that I think we need to try to fulfill with this language access work that I have found is we need to make sure that it's a consistent resource for them, right? I don't want there to be additional barriers for these departments to fulfill that request, right? They want to make sure things are translated. They want to make sure that closed captioning is available. They want to make sure that all their meetings are ADA compliant, right? Let's make sure those resources are readily available for them, right? And those resources take funding, you know? So there's, again, a lot of work that went into this last year. Melissa Pond has done a phenomenal job. And the mayor had created a funding source for that to make sure that there were, it's not a large amount, but making sure that there's an allocation this coming fiscal year for language access for all departments. So again, this is not just translation services, it's also making sure that all of our meetings, whether on Zoom or in person, if we're back in person again, that they're all ADA compliant as well, you know. So moving forward, this will be a standing resource. We will reassess after, you know, the sort of mid-year check-in with that. And then moving forward to the next year's fiscal year, we'll take a look and see, you know, was this helpful to each of the departments? You know, do they need more? Do they need less? You know, and to see based off of the research and what we've seen this last year, in addition to the next 6 months, you know, what is a good number moving forward to make sure that we are accessible, both in language and ADA compliance to residents who need it, you know? So it was a year and a half long project that took the coordination of, you know, all the department heads and Melissa with the planning department, the mayor's office. You know, folks have been just amazing in making sure that this was a priority moving forward as well. So I'm super grateful to everybody who was involved in that. And I'm excited to see how it changes, again, public engagement in meetings moving forward, right? For those who, in the past, you know, when things, maybe there wasn't closed captioning at meetings for whatever reason, or, you know, information for meetings weren't sent out in multiple languages, whatever it may be, right? We'll see hopefully more public participation moving forward.
Yeah, I say it all the time. Knowledge is power. You know, you have to know before you're able to do anything. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly that. But, you know, outside of that, it's what we all look at every single year. You know, again, my colleagues and I, we go through this with a fine tooth comb, right? We look and we see, and the auditor, Susan O'Connor, is amazing with providing information is, you know, what's the history of what's been spent in that department, in that line item, you know, and seeing what it is that they're projecting moving forward. And that really helps us to really see the overall picture of where the monies are going, you know? And so that's, I know it sounds really generic to say like the entire budget's our priority, but it is our priority, right? We have, this is one of our biggest undertaking we take on as counselors is to go through this budget line by line. There is no one specific line item that we're going to say, okay, well, that one they'll spend a little bit under and it's okay. You know, it's just, I've worked with my colleagues now for 6 years and every year I've seen them, like they go through each line to make sure, okay, this is what's being spent over at the library. That's phenomenal. Keep it up. Great. You know, and, oh, this is some areas where, you know, you can save a little bit of money. Let's talk about that and have a conversation about that. And, you know, we've even had folks, I remember asking, we can't add anything, right? We can only cut or approve what's being presented to us. But we've even had conversations in the past where even though I can't add to your line item, Joe, I can say, you know, I've seen that you've overspent that line item though in the past few years. Why didn't you ask for more this year? Let's have a conversation about it. So your earlier point, right? Knowledge is power, right? And understanding how this budget came together. And so always really, really robust, really interesting conversations. There's no one particular area again that we take more seriously than the others. Every single line item adds up to the overall budget, to that final number, which dictates what our tax rate is, right? So we are very mindful about every line item that comes in front of us. I think lastly, I guess the final point I'll touch on with that is that if there's a particular topic that I think is getting more public attention right now, right? I think I would phrase it as such, is the pension. You know, there is a request right now to essentially take out a bond with the interest rates being so amazing. I mean, they absolutely are amazing. Just a side note, you know, like as a public service announcement, if anybody wants to refinance anything, now is the time to do it because the rates are amazing. But I digress. No, in all seriousness, you know, there is a request in front of us right now to fund the pension by way of taking out a bond, right? So as opposed to paying into it bit by bit every single year through the budget, right? Through this budget that goes through, then we pay for the tax dollars and we, you know, put a little bit into the pension every single year. We try to get it, you know, to a place where it's completely paid, but we're really just chipping away at it, right? We're not the only city in town who's experiencing this. Every city in town is going through this, right? Essentially what happens is if every single public employee retires, it's unfunded. We don't have enough to fund the pension, right? So we try to put as much as possible into it. And there is a timeline. I'm not sure what the exact year is, but by a certain time, we do need to make sure that it is funded, right? And so an option that the mayor is looking at, which actually I've heard now also, I forgot what city it was in Rhode Island, is also looking at doing this, which is because, again, interest rates are so low, is taking out a bond to then fund that. And instead of, you know, every year we're taking the money from the budget to feed into that pension, we're now just paying it into the bond, right? And so now the pension is paid. We now are still technically paying something, right? But we're paying it into the bond rather than the pension, right? So a much larger conversation and a much more detailed and informative conversation than the one I'm giving to you now as an explanation. But the overall thought here is that there's going to be some cost savings to the taxpayers, you know? And so, again, this is a very long-winded answer to what are some priorities. I think that's the most front-facing one, you know, that folks may be paying attention to, but I defer back to my previous comment about, you know, what's a priority? It's making sure that, you know, we're being diligent about what's being spent, you know?
One thing, as you're well aware, that was not funded in the budget was the Department of Social Justice and Equity that the City Council passed. I know Councillor Palmucci made a passionate statement about that. How do you feel about that, Nina?
I feel incredibly grateful to him. I will just say that, you know, first and foremost, I am, you know, we've been exceptionally close, you know, in my time on the council. He is somebody who very early on has always been, you know, exceptionally kind and a great mentor in just conversations that I've had with anything that I may consider big or small. He's always been very, you know, very helpful and very supportive on, even when we disagree on things, right? And so when it comes to this in particular, it's no different, you know? He is incredibly and deeply supportive of this issue. And he also recognizes, and I will just say it, right, and be blunt, he recognizes that he's, you know, a cis white man, right, in this space. And he steps into his discomfort around that. But I will just say that despite the discomfort he feels, he is still deeply passionate about being an advocate and being an ally for these things. And I'm grateful for that, right? Because what he said about the disappointment with it not being funded is a disappointment that I certainly share and unfortunately don't always have the capacity to speak up on. I was thinking about this a lot and thinking a lot about what he said and was just, you know, again, really grateful that he spoke up on it because it's hard, right? It gets really draining and it chips away after a while when you feel as though your experiences are invalidated. And I've explained that a number of times in a number of different ways. And I finally came up with, I think hopefully an idea that or in a way to explain it that makes sense to folks, which is, you know, imagine all of those times that, you know, we hear developers wanting to come into the city, right? And they say, we're going to build X, Y, and Z in your neighborhood, you know? And we say, that's ridiculous. Where are all the cars going to go? There's so much traffic. Like, I sit in that traffic every single day, you know? There's pedestrian accidents and there's no bike lanes and the cars are backed up and it takes an hour to get from here to here in the city. And, you know, it's a typical conversation, right? That tends to happen. And then when the developer comes back and says that there's no traffic there, I did a traffic study, there's no traffic. Well, now it's, what do you say to that, right? No, Joe, I live here. I see the traffic. I sit in the traffic. I'm telling you this traffic. And then you'll say, but Nina, I did a traffic study. There's no traffic. Like at that point, where do you and I go in that conversation? Does that make sense? And so that's not unlike my feelings around this, which is why I'm grateful, really grateful personally and professionally to my colleague, Councillor Palmucci, for speaking up on this, right? Because, you know, two things can be true, right? Maybe the developer did the traffic study at 6 a.m. on a summer day when nobody had to go to school and nobody's really traveling, right? And so when that developer did the traffic study, maybe there really wasn't any traffic, right? Doesn't mean that there isn't traffic though happening at other points in time. So both things can be true, right?
Or what's their definition of traffic?
That is what, thank you. That's another great point, right? To this example that I'm talking, this metaphor that I'm trying to spin out here, right? That's a great point. It's why it gets really exhausting, right? And that's why I'm also, again, grateful to my colleagues for speaking up on this. It's not just Council, but Council Andronico, Council Mahoney, right? Council Harris. I mean, they've spoken up on this, Councilor Phelan too. And it's just, it's nice to hear that because I can't keep trying to convince a developer there is traffic when they're convinced there isn't, right? And so to bring that metaphor back and to speak bluntly, like I can't keep convincing people that I've experienced it here and that I still do experience it here if some folks keep pushing back and saying, no, that's not happening here. I can't, maybe they haven't witnessed that. And that's amazing. Like for those who've not experienced that, and I've said this a number of times, I'm genuinely happy that that's their experience here. That's good, right? We want more people. We want everyone to have that kind of good experience here. That's not the case. I've not had that good experience here, right? Doesn't mean that I don't love, of course, come on. I'm choosing to serve this city, right? I love this city. This is my home, you know? people will still ask me where I'm from all day long. People will still say, but where are you really from? And I'm like, I'm from Germantown. I'm like, but where are you really from? You know, and even little moments like that, like I would never say to you, Joe, like, but Joe, where are you from though? But where are you from? You know, and it's little comments like that. It's, you know, racial slurs that have been thrown at me growing up here over the years, you know, still to this day, racial slurs, people saying, go back to your country. And I'm like, so go back to where I'm from right now. You know, it just, it becomes exhausting. So, you know, ranting aside, you know, I am also really disappointed that it's not funded, right? Because taking my personal experience out of it, back to the metaphor, right? Because it's the best way I can think of in trying to not stand on a soapbox. We created a traffic parking alarm and lighting department, you know, despite what developers say about there not being traffic. We heard from residents saying that there's a traffic problem. We heard from residents saying traffic needs to be addressed. So what did we do? Created a traffic and parking alarm and lighting department, didn't we? You know, we've heard from residents from all walks of life, you know, whether they identify as people of color or they identify as white or black or brown or gold or whatever, you know, we've heard from residents who want this. You know, we didn't just sit down and say, you know, let's come up with this on our own and that's it and ignore what 100,000 people in the city are saying. You know, we came up with this over a course of a summer of connecting directly with residents, right? This last year we've worked on it. From hearing, we're still hearing from it, from residents on this, you know, and I'm sure you are as well, right? Because I know folks reach out to QATV to talk about this. I know folks reach out to The Sun to talk about this. And so that's the best way to put it, right? Is that metaphor of just, you know, could you imagine? Like, could you imagine if there's still to this day, all these, and there still is issues on traffic. Just because a traffic parking alarm and lighting department was created, doesn't mean traffic has gone away. Pandemic aside, right? We're still having traffic issues. We're still having things that we need to improve upon. We're seeing more bike lanes, right? We're seeing new sidewalks and it's seeing new curb cuts. It's wonderful. Is it because there's now a department dedicated to that we're seeing progress? Maybe, you know, does it take the problem away of traffic? Of course not, you know, but at least we know here in the city, there's a dedicated department for it, right? So it's that same concept with this. I'm really disappointed that despite all of the requests from the residents, from the community, that we're not moving forward with it because we want to believe one truth exists and the other doesn't. And it's very discouraging, it's very defeating, and it's very invalidating, you know, to feel like that resident that's like, I sit in traffic for an hour, but nobody wants to believe me. So I guess I'll just suck it up and sit in traffic for an hour, you know, and not let anybody worry about fixing it. I mean, that's, we can't ignore residents' requests, whether it's traffic or issues on equity and inclusion. And unfortunately we're picking, you know, which ones we want to address. And I don't think we don't have the luxury of picking which residents we ignore. And I don't think we should be doing that now, you know?
I have nothing to add to that, Nina. I think it speaks for itself, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to let your feelings be known.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It's I think Councilor Premucci said it very well last night. And I appreciate you giving the opportunity to speak in response to that too.
Can we talk a little bit about the withdrawal of the Quincy College plan? And I know you had serious concerns about that.
Yes, so to my knowledge, you know, just based off of the conversations that we've had on it in the last month, you know, outside of the finance committee meetings, inside the finance committee meetings, as I'm sure, again, all of you at QUTV know from being there with us the whole way, is that it just, as of right now, it didn't make sense to move forward with it. And so the mayor withdrew the request to move forward. And so essentially there is no vote to be taken because it's withdrawn. From my understanding, it doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. You know, my understanding is, you know, let's go back to the drawing board and find a way, you know, with all the feedback that came in to make it work, right? And I think, you know, based off of what I've heard from folks as well, right, the sentiment generally across the board is that, you know, we as a collective, again, and I'm generalizing here, is that we believe in the college. You know, I actually, it's funny, I got a notification on Facebook today that was the 3-year, you know, they do like the anniversary post on Facebook. It was a 3-year anniversary from when my best friend got her scholarship actually to continue her education there. And so it was interesting that that happened the day following the withdrawal, right? But I'm just one story. Like my friend is just one story. There's so many people who know somebody who you know, is successful because of, you know, what the college is able to provide, right? And even if you don't know somebody there, I've heard from people who just say they believe that it's an institution that does serve, right? And is a service that is well, I think, respected, and a service that needs to be continued, right? It was more of a question, and for me anyways, more of a financial question, you know, and I've heard a couple of folks who approach it from that lens as well. And so, you know, from what we were looking at with that, it just, again, from my perspective, didn't make sense financially to move forward on. And so I think it's not a withdrawal to say, no, it's never going to happen. I think it's a withdrawal to say, like, let's be flexible and go back to the drawing board and see what's next on it. So I'll be interested to see what comes moving forward on it.
Okay. I know there were a number of appropriations that went right to finance committee. So nothing really to talk about there, but anything else you wanted to add about the meeting?
So Council Harris actually made two dedications that I do want to make sure to point out. It's, you know, two community members in the Ward 6 area, but, you know, folks outside of even Ward 6, you know, knew these folks. And so I want to make sure to just get their name right. So I'm going to pull it up here.
Yeah, sure.
If that's okay. And so one of them was a dedication of Sonoma Road and Essex Street in that area. And that was in memory of Daniel Dewey. Daniel Dewey was actually a Marine in the Vietnam War. And, you know, just when he came back, continued his public service right through until the end, right to when he moved back here. He also was really, really active in the Quincy Veterans Group as well. And as you know, it's very, very active group in service to their community. And so it was a really nice opportunity, obviously very bittersweet, but a nice opportunity being a Ward 6 kid myself, you know, to be able to have Councilor Harris bring that forward and to name the square in his honor. The second person that he did that for as well was actually for the intersection of Standish Road and Bellevue Road. And that was in memory of Jonathan O'Driscoll, who's also a Marine, passed far, far, far too young, was a firefighter here in the city as well. So again, just, you know, two people who not only served this country, but served their city, served the community, served their neighborhood. And so I think not just for that neighborhood and for that ward, but really for the city, you know, to have an opportunity to commemorate their memories was really important. These are the things, right? In addition to all the stuff I just ranted about with you, talking about the budget and whatnot, you know, these are these moments where, you know, folks like Councilor Harris can say, let's just pause and recognize, you know, who really makes the city great, right? And really who keeps the city going. And let's find ways to honor that and remember them. And so it was, again, very bittersweet, but a wonderful opportunity to pause last night as he took that time to share with us their stories. And, you know, we all obviously moved to pass unanimously to name those two squares after them.
Nice. Yeah, I know. Well, you've been doing it all along with your COVID-19 heroes recognition, you know, throughout the pandemic as well. So I'm sure that was a nice way to end the meeting.
Yeah, it was. It was, again, you know, obviously it's always very hard and painful talking about somebody that is no longer with us. But again, on the positive end of that, just to pause and as a body, you know, be able to recognize and remember somebody who gave so much to this community is a really nice moment to do that.
Anything else, Nina?
That's it for now. Stay tuned for what's going to happen with scheduling of the budget meetings and what's going to happen about meeting in person. And again, I apologize for not having any updates for folks now, but I know, again, everyone over at QATV is on top of getting the word out and making sure that whether people have to tune in person or through QATV, you folks always ensure that people are able to participate in some way. So we'll make sure to let you know and we'll make sure to work with you to make sure that folks can tune into our next meetings.
All right. We look forward to it and we'll catch up after the next meeting. Thanks so much, Nina.
Good. I'll talk to you then.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.